Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
Record.
I'm just sitting here like an idiot.
What's going on, dude?
Oh, man, just a gray day in Oregon. I think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah?
I'm hobbled for the time being. So
what happened?
Just my same old dumb knee problems. But you know what? I'm going to use it as a positive. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a positive.
Okay.
I'm just going to get high as shit, watch some TV.
Oh, there you go.
Because I think that's as what I'm recovery, do yeah, as a recovery.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the best? Like, I do that anyway, but a few weeks ago when I was a little sick or none of the weather, I did it a couple days guilt free. It's like, no, I need this.
Yeah,
I need to rest.
It's the guilt free. Yeah.
I'm self care.
Absolutely.
This is caring for myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So I think that's what today is going to be because I got to get ready. I'm leaving in 2 days. I got to pack up for a 3-week trip.
Damn.
I mean, there'll be laundry. I'm assuming it'll be laundry. I hope there's going to be laundry.
Oh, that's the worst. Man, that's something I don't miss is sitting at fucking laundry rooms, laundry mats.
Yeah.
Ugh. Where you have to actually sit there because there's nothing else to do.
My old place, I didn't have laundry. Or my two old places ago. And I didn't mind sitting down there reading a book.
Oh, to me, it just felt like such a waste of time. Yeah.
I like, because I'm like, oh, when do I read? I don't read, so now I got to sit here and read.
I've started, that's funny you brought that up. I have started reading more at night because we've got, Katie installed this cool little lamp that's like mounted to the wall and it's got a swing, you know, something like you'd see in a hotel room. So just normal little lamp, but it's got an arm.
That's what's prevented you from reading is just lighting?
Exactly. Yeah, lighting. But I could sit in my little easy chair at night, and I can swing that lamp right above my head, and it just lights it up perfectly. So, yeah, I've just been reading a lot more lately. Because I noticed, I mean, I was obviously, it wasn't a conscious choice like, hey, I got to read more. It was, hey, I got to stop looking at so many damn screens. Late at night, I'll just turn on some jazz or some instrumental stuff and turn the TV off and just try to read a little bit. So that's been fun. Reading's fun,
Dave,
Kyle.
Dave playing jazz, reading a book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at me.
Wearing Hawaiian shirts. Who is this guy?
Yeah,
man. What are you reading?
Right now I'm reading Primus's biography. It's pretty cool.
Music biographies. That's what got me through all summer.
Yeah. Love music biographies. I've been a big fan of that band forever, but I've never really, you know, dug into their backstory or anything. So yeah, I love biographies and music docs. Even if it's a band I'm not a huge fan of, if it's a well done music doc, I'm in. I'll watch fucking doc about whomever, Nelly or
well, that was like the 30 for 30s. You don't have to like the sport. If you're telling a story, any story told well, it was like, all right. I started listening to a podcast about the Chippendales dancers.
Oh, yeah.
There was like the guy who started it was kind of this ruthless businessman who's like was calling hits on people and everything.
Really?
Yeah, you tell me a good story about dick jigglers, I'll listen to it.
Where did that story start, or where did that business start, Chippendales? Is that a Miami thing?
No, it was actually L.A. It was the original LA. One was off Overland Avenue, over like on the west side, kind of that like that kind of still shitty industrial area that's kind of West L.A. And they just had a nightclub in the 70s trying to do different gimmicks to get it going. And some guy came in and was like, you should do this. You should do male dance. And they're like, we're trying anything to keep this business afloat. Let's give it a shot. And it worked.
How about that?
How about that, dear? So, yeah, that's what's going on there.
I went to the Cornet Club in Atlanta, Georgia when I was 18 because it was the first strip club or one of the only strip clubs that an 18-year-old could get into.
Yeah.
And our buddies told us about it. But what they failed to mention, and I know why, because they were giving us a little gag, a little prank. It's a unisex, co-ed. That's the word I was looking for. Co-ed strip club. On one end, there's two stages. One far left is one stage, far right is another stage, and one's for dudes and one's for girls. And
get
up out of our seat or something. Ah, fuck! I just saw some huge dong. Damn it!
Hell
this
yeah!
Isn't as
how,
fun as I thought
how,
it would be.
How liberal? How like? Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody gets everything here. Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. The Cornet Club. But yeah, that was one of my last stints. I've been to a couple. I'm not a big strip club guy. We've talked about that. To me, it just seems like I get it, but it's like a fat guy going to a bakery and he can't eat anything. It's like, what's the point of this?
I mean, the attitude here in Portland. I mean, I haven't been to one in a while, but it's a little different. It's more like rock and roll, and everybody's kind of hooting and hollering, having fun, in on the.
Yeah,
it's not the weird dude.
Kind of like Jumbo's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not the weird dudes sitting by themselves. Mm-hmm. Leering.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, if that's how you're making your money, make that money.
Yeah, do your thing.
That's what
you ever been? You've been to what's the one in Atlanta? The notorious one,
Claremont.
You've been to that?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've been to. Yeah. I don't know if I went with you, but I've been to that Claremont. Was it Goldie? Was Goldie the one that would crush beer cans with her boobs?
Yeah, Goldie's about 70-year-old heavyset black woman.
And then there's like a super old white lady that was dressed like Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those novelty joints where I don't think they have a dancer under 50 years old.
Yeah, that's the part where I was like, oh, we're kind of like laughing. I mean, I'm assuming that they're self-aware also.
Yeah,
but it kind of felt a little sad. It felt a little bit like,
look at this freak show.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I guess if the person in it is okay being in it, but are they really? You know, maybe that's me projecting. You know, like when somebody's like, "I'm fine," like, but are you really? Because I don't think you are.
Yeah,
I wonder if there are like that's still somebody's grandmother.
True. I think
maybe I don't know.
How they justify it themselves or whatever, but I always, I've been there several times, but never really for the purpose of, it's never, hey, let's go to a strip club. It's like, hey, let's go to this grimy dive bar we all like, and oh, by the way, there's probably going to be a senior citizen with her top off dancing on the bar.
It's over the top
of a dive bar, but it just felt like, for the most part, it always felt like the dancing was secondary. It was like, you know, complimentary rather than like the focal point the way at a traditional strip
club. No, the whole thing is that it's a novelty, goofy bar. Or, I mean, again, not to shame anybody's interest, if you're into the old birds.
Yeah.
If you're into the senior members, get on down to the Claremont.
That's funny. That concept has always interested me, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but when I was 15 and horny, you know, I wanted to look at a 19 or 20 year old, you know,
okay,
and the thought of a 40, 45 year old, I don't think it repulsed me, but it was just I'm not looking on that menu, like that's of no interest to me, and I always wondered even back then, are my taste going to evolve with my age? Are they going to progress? And fortunately, they have. Like, you know.
Of course. I mean, you age and you mature. You know that everybody gets older or they die. Yeah, I would,
but
I
wonder
so.
Where that's going to stop, though. Like, it makes like it's not a stretch for me at 44 to find a 40-year-old attractive. That's, you know, normal and the way it should be. But when is that going to stop? When I'm 70, am I going to, you know, see a 65-year-old and go, hell yeah?
I don't, man. I don't know what your I don't know what your particular sex drive is going to be in 30 years, Dave. Thinking slim to none, I think that's how that
yeah,
works.
Yeah, probably.
You're like, finally, I'm unburdened.
Yeah, that will be
what,
a nice
what if that's what it'll
break.
Feel like? Yeah, like there'll be the ego hit of being sad that you're not like, oh, no, I'm getting older. And then you're like, oh, no more weird boners or productivity stopping horniness. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. No, that's true. Like, you know, I don't want to paint myself into a corner here. I feel like I'm pretty normal and healthy in all regards, but I feel like with sex, I could adopt your food pill policy eventually. Not now, but like when I'm 60, like, can we just, if I could take a pill and satisfy my wife without me having to do the work, that'd
be
fine.
They do have those pills. I think we might have been sponsored by those pills at one point, Dave. Because you're not, that's the Tesla autopilot. Is what, that's all Viagra is. Like, here's a boner. Do what you need to with it.
Yeah.
It's just don't pull it off. It's attached to me, but I'm not, I got nothing to do with it.
This is my contribution to this thing.
That's leased out property down there. That's the back 40. I don't know what they're doing with it.
Oh,
I'm just the
shit.
Landlord. I don't know what they're doing in there.
Go ahead, have at it.
Well, this is the Boogie Monster question and answer.
Uh-huh.
Should we answer some questions? Should we question some of these answers, man?
I think we're answering questions that weren't even asked.
That's a better conspiracy theory podcast. We question. We answer the questions, and then we question the answers, bro. Moan Abe, 3%ers, freedom fighters, bro. Question the answers. Don't answer their questions. Question their answers. What's up?
Question everything?
Whoa, what, bro? Bro, what?
That's an old Shane Moss tweet. Question everything?
There's still QAnoners out there, right? They're still out there?
Are there?
There's got to be.
Hmm. What a sad existence. What if you were one of those fucking idiots?
I don't know. We're two. Bug, I love we're two Trump. Dudes who just talked about how we can't wait till our sex drive goes away.
That's true. Oh man, what if that was your thing though? This is what I'm into.
I don't think I've met anybody whole hog into it. I'm curious as to what drives it. But also, I'll tell you what though. Within the past few weeks, Patton Oswalt has retweeted a couple of my things. Mm-hmm. I've worked with him, pals enough with him. But man, he blew up with like not QAnon, but the opposite, like the leftist, the humorless left.
Equally as annoying.
Their Twitter handle is still like Joe S 85923876. And they got, you know, 40,000 tweets and 15 followers. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a bot, but like, I forget that, I made some joke about figuring out where to live is tough. Cause it's like, do I want to burn alive, drown, or be bored to death? Clearly mm-hmm. a joke. It's in threes. The third part's the punchline. And people are like, only boring people get bored. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Just sit back, sit back and not understand the joke. But I'm like, oh, these are all from, like, Patton really got into that. Not he himself, but attracted these. Mm-hmm. And they got the little blue wave and everything in their profile. And I'm like, are these just Russian bots for the other side? I don't trust anything on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him being, like, unintentionally the poster boy for that crowd.
Yeah, because
like
he's gone
said, not,
he's
not
gone
necessarily
after
anything he's
folks.
Done.
No, but he's, like, he's mentioned, like, oh, yeah, this is stupid. And get like, so he's
yeah
got his side politically. Mm-hmm. You know, he's made his political stance aware on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But so, but yeah, that crowd, yeah. Fuck, just as shitty, dude. Just as shitty. Like, just leaving the Huffington Post and shit like that.
That humorless approach to life. Oh, they're comedians that are fucking humorless.
I am sometimes.
What are you doing?
Sometimes I don't detect humor. I'll admit
that.
Yeah,
but I think, what do you mean you don't detect
humor? Like, if somebody's really dry, if somebody's dry.
Okay,
and if you don't, like, if you don't know somebody and then you meet them and their sense of humor is dry and you don't know that yet and you're like, oh, this guy's real stick in the mud. Like, oh, actually, they're hilarious. Yeah. I'm just slow. Sometimes I'm slow.
That one's on me.
Yeah, that's on me, man. Sometimes I'm not as perceptive as I thought. But yeah, like I put another one. Well, I was talking about, it was more of that, that Josh Denny dude who was like going hard in the paint on his whatever alt rights, so just trolling. And I made some statement about like sometimes mediocre comedians will just lean into being a troll because at least it's attention. Mm-hmm. And Patton made a joke like, you could have just texted me like as a joke, like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And people not knowing that we even know each other, like, who the fuck are you? Pat's an Emmy Award winner. You're just some trash. I'm like, hey,
Jesus. Goddamn.
Wow. Like, I didn't respond to anything, but I was like, what? You guys.
Yeah.
You are the QAnon.
That Josh Denny guy, he's the one, if I'm not mistaken. I love this model of comedian. He's got 100,000 followers on Twitter. Good for him. But he also follows 150,000 people.
Yeah.
One of those guys. I'm going to follow everybody and then hope that they follow me back.
That's one way to do it.
All right.
I mean, I'm not, I don't want to give, buddy. Yeah, I don't want to give that guy any more airtime, but. I mean, that's one way to do it. I mean, if you're not real funny, you can just be a troll. You can just kind of, you know, get attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get the people that are less a fan of your comedy, but more a fan of, like, look who's sticking it to the man. Like, we got to support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like bands that were shitty bands but had a good cause. And you're like, well, I guess I'm doing the right thing by listening to this band, even though I don't like the music. I think there's a lot of comedians that are just get like the patriots that want to support these guys. Like, they're not funny, but they're like, well, we gotta support members.
We got somebody on our side,
yeah,
speaking up. Yeah. Ugh.
Anyway,
who gives a shit?
Just who be funny. Gives a shit?
Gives a rat's ass. Should we get in here and A these cues?
I think we should. I think we've wasted 15 minutes of these people's time.
This month, you know, normal questions per usual, whatever's on your mind. But also, we ask that you maybe give us some recommendations for Halloween or horror movies, because it is that time of year, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, about let's get on the good vibes, dog.
Fucking love Halloween, dude. Fucking love it. All right, let's get
into it. It's the best holiday.
Oh, it's the best holiday. It's the best month. Like, I love fall. From a sports perspective, October's amazing. Like, oh, I love October. I love Halloween. It's
all right.
I'm in a good mood, Kyle. I'm in a good place.
Nice.
Let's get into it. Mark from Ohio. Nice, simple, basic one. Favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh.
Good question. Now, I always divide this up into two categories because I don't think it's fair to compare the chocolate-based candies with the confection or the fruity sugar-based candies.
So, you're
to me, it's two categories.
It's like a bracket. We're doing a bracket.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go my two favorite chocolates are Kit Kat and Peanut M&M. Can't get enough of either one of those.
Okay.
Kit Kat, Peanut M&M, I'm all about it. The sugary, fruity shit. Man, I love any type of high-end gummy, any type of good gummy bear, gummy worm. And recently, man, I've been on a Nerds kick.
Got into the Nerds, too.
Mm-hmm.
Had them sitting around
here. Give
me
some Nerds and some gummy bears and give me some peanut M&Ms and some Kit Kats.
Do you remember how disgusting? Remember, like, not the Halloween size Nerds, but the two-flavor pack? You know,
the normal size box, like size of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
almost.
And there'd be each side had a different flavor. You remember how just disgusting the top of those would get?
Some kids just slobbering on them.
Yeah, just wet carpet. And then the nerds would stick to the edge like barnacles, like just herpes sores around the edge. What a what a disgusting way to package that candy. The nerds, I revisited those as well. And it was a fun little, didn't get me re-excited about them, but it was nice to have that nostalgic flavor. Okay, if I'm going to divide categories, chocolate, man, Reese's Cups all day long.
Reese's Cups, okay. I get that. Those are great.
Reese's Cups, as much as I might say my favorite type of candy is gummies, favorite candy all the time, might be a Reese's Cup.
Really?
And then you get a house, giving out the full-size ones, get out of here.
Yeah. My only grievance with the Reese's Cup, and it's a fine product, all right, I'll say that, but imagine how good a Reese's Cup would be if the peanut butter was great and not just that weird.
Oh, buddy, you can go get a high-end peanut butter cup. Go to a Fannie Mae or go to like a See's Candy.
Yeah.
You ever fuck around with turtles?
Oh, yeah,
walnut,
dude.
Caramel, chocolate type thing? Yeah, you can love go get a high-end. I like the trashiness of the Reese's Cup.
Really? I mean, it doesn't bother me. I just always think, how much better could this be?
Probably a lot better, but for free from a stranger, I mean, I don't know. I think you got to manage your expectations. And gummies, I'm going to say Albanese gummies. I don't know if they have, I don't even know if they're going to mess around with a Halloween size pack. Albanese gummy bears. Huh. Yeah, these guys. White and blue package. No, I'm sorry. White and red packaging. Actually, different kinds of packaging. As I look it up online right now, they are just. I like what they're doing.
Really?
Yeah.
We look at these bastards here.
It's good. It's a real high class.
Oh right. Yeah. Yes.
These Albanese.
That is. I know that packaging. Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yep. Those are good.
And I'll say I got a tub of Starburst jelly beans. I like a. Ooh. I do like a Jelly Belly jelly bean. And I like that they make gross ones.
Yeah.
I like that they do that.
Yeah.
So you could play Russian roulette with them.
Yeah, because some of them look the same. You know, the fucking cherry cola looks just like the licorice or whatever. And you're like, oh, shit. Man, yeah, those are good. Starburst, just plain old Starburst are fucking great, man.
Starburst is good, but yeah.
Those are dangerous.
But their jelly beans are very good.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good.
And shit, this whole episode could be about Halloween candy because, I mean, all of them, it's the stuff that you forgot you liked and then you see in like a mix pack, like a Charleston Chew. Oh, put a Charleston Chew in the freezer. And then blackjack your buddy over the back of the head with it.
Man, you mentioned turtles. Dude, I don't know if I forgot what these were called. Goo Goo clusters or something, but it was basically a turtle with pecans. Oh man,
Goo-goo?
Chocolate
Goo-goo clusters.
Caramel. Yeah, Goo Goo clusters.
I just can't wait till the sex drive goes down. I'm sick of all these Goo Goo clusters cramming up my Levi's. Jesus.
Oh, my future looks fun.
Fucking.
I can't wait to be a fucking crusty old man. You never had a Goo Goo. They, you can get them at Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel's got that whole line of old-timey candy.
Yeah, man.
Love that shit.
Cracker Barrel's trash, Dave.
Oh, get out of here, dude.
Watch
your fucking mouth.
I came around on the Waffle House.
You watch your mouth.
Cracker Barrel. I want to know what the cancer rate is of the quote-unquote chefs there standing in front of the NASA screen bank of microwaves to handle the church crowd on Sunday afternoons.
Oh, man. It's a hidden gem. It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not saying it's world class. I'm not saying it can compete with a good mom and pop. But For a chain? Where else am I going to get catfish and fried okra and turnip greens in a national chain? There you go. I rest my case.
Yeah, that's...
So Applebee's gives me some blackened catfish and turnip greens. You know, Cracker Barrel's going to have to be the shining star.
Yeah, nothing but the freshest catfish.
Oh, man. But no, you should, next time you're there, you should check out that their little gift shop area. What little? It's oh, the literally
thing
half
they
the size
the thing
of the
they
store.
Force you to walk through.
Yeah, but they got great candy, dude. They got great candy, and they got great old weird sodas. Get you a Stewart's orange creamsicle soda. Get you a fucking RC or a Dr. Bubbles or whatever they had back in the day. Mm. Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's see. Jer Grieve. Did I pronounce that right? What horror film universe do you think you'd have the best chance to survive?
Mm. Probably not Nightmare on Elm Street, because I like sleeping too much. I nap pretty easy, so I'd be doomed right away. Be like, no
Michael
matter
Myers.
What, we just have to stay away. I'd be asleep during that speech. I'd fall asleep while my peers, yeah, while one of my friends, like, whatever we do, I'd be out.
Just farting and snoring.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Myers always scared me initially because he is creepy. I like the mask. But if you really think about it, I've never seen him move quickly. Well, you never saw the original Halloween.
I never saw you move quickly, Dave. So what are you getting at
he's
here?
He's not a fast mover. I think I could handle Michael Myers. He seems uncoordinated. He's huge, but he just seems lumbery.
Clumsy serial killer.
Yeah, yeah. I think I could fuck him up.
All right, coyotes and Michael Myers. Add Michael Myers to the list of Dave the things Dave yeah. can beat up. Was Mike? I got again. As I said before, I still haven't seen Halloween. Maybe that's what I'm going to watch today on this cloudy day up here in Oregon. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Is he supernatural? Is Michael Myers supernatural? Don't spoil
no,
the movie
I,
for
I,
me.
Yeah, I I don't know the movie well enough to know. But upon first glance, no.
Okay, because Jason's supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you watch those movies, and if you're not paying attention, you wouldn't think he was supernatural. But so, yeah, I'm not saying, you know, the nerds are probably yelling right now one way or the other. But I don't think he's supernatural. I think he just I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because Jason said, I think I could survive. Would we call Gremlins a horror movie?
Ooh.
Because when the shift from what Gizmo yeah. was into Scary. The into Striper,
yeah, Stripe,
yeah, into
the punk rock one with the mohawk,
yeah, that thing was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good job, good job, puppet people. That thing was gross.
That whole story about Phoebe Cates' father, like Jesus Christ, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's a good one.
I think I could probably survive Gremlins.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, if I'm being honest though, I wouldn't survive any of them. I think I'd just
the
be
old,
like, fuck this. Die.
The old original, you know, crew, Frankenstein and Mummy and the Wolfman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mummy. Come on. What are you doing? Get out of here, dude.
Yeah, but Mummy's got
shoo.
Can curse you. Frankenstein.
Yeah,
Frankenstein was just looking to be friends anyway.
Yeah.
And on what in yeah, worst also, case about a vampire, what happens? You become a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
You're automatically in shape. There's no fat vampires. You're automatically you got that kind of goth vibe.
Mm-hmm. Gaunt and sickly looking.
Yeah, but you know, like but it's like that's a look for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't see as many goth people. Is that you think that whole generation's dying off, or am I just not living in the right town?
Well, according to them, they were dead the whole time. I think they're around. I just think it's, you know, the all the subsets, all the youthful subsets, I'm unfamiliar with, as I should be. But I'm glad they. Yeah. I'm glad they're out there. Like, I don't know what vaporwave is, but that's a thing.
I never even heard that.
That's what I'm saying, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Nor should we have heard of it. But it doesn't mean that there's anything. I'm like, cool, good. Make some new vibes out there. I like that.
Yeah,
I
can't keep up with the youthful subsets either. I have no idea.
But you're not. Yeah, but you're not supposed to.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think the best move of aging gracefully is not mm-hmm. trying to understand it, but being like, yep, this stuff is yours. Good, go for it. Good job. Fun. Make new music. Make new mm-hmm. art.
Yeah. Do your thing. Yeah, I definitely don't want to be one of those crotchety old guys that just thinks everything was better back in his day.
No. You know. I mean, there's some dog shit out there, but mm-hmm. shit, man, I put out... What was our generation had Korn.
Yeah.
Even when I was first heard Korn, I'm like, what the who is listening to this? Did you listen to Korn?
I got really into Korn for about that first year.
Yeah.
I think it came out our senior year in high school, that first album.
Were you a freak on
a leash? And I was already into that type of stuff. No, I think that was the second album. I pretend not to know anything about Korn, but I tell you their whole discography.
I just wasn't. Jonathan Davis's birthday is February 23rd, and
it's a B-side on the import. Mm-hmm. You may not have heard that one, but no, I was into that first album because I was already into that type of like that new metal shit anyway, and it was just such a like, sure, come on, there's room for you. But yeah, a couple years after, I grew very weary of their thing. It's just like, all right, we get it.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. The track jackets with like the naked ladies profile, like the mud flap profile, like that. All those closed.
Yeah,
I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah, they definitely had their own aesthetic.
I'm gonna go to Ian Bowers. Where's the best place you've been super high and the worst place you've been way too high? Ooh, good question, Ian.
Great question. I think the best place I've ever been high was wherever I was the first 25 times I got high. I remember early on, I was just like, yes, this.
Thank God. So yeah, because not everybody, the days of like, does somebody have weed? And it was like this treat if somebody had weed,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's more of an event.
I just remember those first few months. I was like, I get what all the fuss is about. Where has this been my whole life? It was just, it really was. Like, it changed so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to just sound like a cliche, but like, and it wasn't like an immediate and overt change, but like, I know it's so cliche, but it just opened my eyes so much to like just philosophy and the world and ideologies. And just, I was just like, oh shit, this is awesome. This is making me think about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I really like being fucked up. I really liked it. Because some people are like, oh, I don't like losing control of myself. I'm like, get rid of this control. I want nothing to do mm-hmm. with control.
Yeah. I used to be that guy. And let me tell you, that it's exhausting.
That guy is an
to always be in control.
It's exhausting to be around the guy who doesn't want to control. Mm-hmm. I exhausted other people, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was an asshole. But there was just moments. Just when you, like that first, I remember one time just being in the back seat, coming home from a city out to the suburbs. I was in the back seat, so I wasn't driving. I was whatever amount of drunk and high where I was like, this is the best this is going to be. Mm-hmm. After this, I will only be pursuing whatever I'm feeling right now. We maxed out the meter on this one. And it was just this mm-hmm. nice, pleasant, but that was it. Yeah, I kept trying to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Barf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was one of the moments of being super high. Yeah, you're right. Worst those early days.
Yeah, it really, It was really impactful, and I don't know how, and I can't explain it, but it just
watching your
especially coming from my background, just that Southern Baptist, you know, conservative, just everybody thinks and looks the same and behaves the same, and and even before weed, I tried to distance myself from that. You know, I had my own thoughts and opinions as a young man, but it was still, I was still unwillingly kind of caught up in just that culture. And then as soon as I got just balls ass high for the first time, I was like, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. I can just, okay. I don't have to just fall in line and be another schmuck from where I'm from. I can do whatever.
I was afraid of this stuff.
Yeah.
Do you remember who you got high with the first time?
Yeah, my then girlfriend. I think I told you that story. I didn't get high. I didn't smoke weed till I was 25. When I was 25, I was a cop. but I was with my gal for about a year, about the time I became. Anyway, I was with my gal for a few years before I smoked pot, but she was a huge pothead. The whole time I was a cop, my live-in girlfriend was a huge pothead.
Yep.
And the way I justified that or got around that moral quandary is I can proudly say to this day, 5 years of being a cop, I didn't make one fucking marijuana arrest. I didn't. So much so that my superiors were even like, what the fuck, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, cut him a break. Yes. I never busted anybody for weed because I was like, dude, my girlfriend's at home right now getting high.
I like how you're the worst cop in the best way for the regular person out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You were thankfully a terrible police officer.
Yeah, yeah. I used to catch people all the time, and I would just I'd just say, hey man, or I'd keep it, or I'd tell them to throw this away. Or my go to line was like, it's your lucky day, man. Just be careful. And they'd look at me like, holy shit, what? Really? I'm free to go? I'm like,
yeah. We got, but I mean, in Chicago, they didn't give a shit. In the suburbs, they're all bored. The cops were, so I get you. But I don't know, man. Worst place? I remember being at a Halloween party in L.A., and I had to disappear. Bronger found me. I was, like, sitting in a corner of the parking garage of this apartment complex. He's like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. I just don't want to be around anybody. It was just, like, real panic attack type thing.
Dude, I have the exact same story. I had a panic attack / weed OD at a Halloween party.
I mean, it makes sense if you're just stoned. It's people's like costumes and in your face.
Yeah, and I had way too much. And we were hosting a party. Me and that girlfriend. We probably had 10, 12 folks over, and it was a costume party.
Well, sure.
So a lot of people were dressed up, and I don't know what happened. In the moment, I thought someone laced this joint with something. This is not normal. But I went back to the bedroom, and I literally just stood in our bedroom with the lights off. Like, I think I initially went back there to take a piss. But, like, 30 minutes later, my girlfriend finds me just standing in the dark in our bedroom. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Something's wrong.
It's like, oh, this is what good weed is. I've been smoking this.
Yeah.
Ditch weed forever. This is what good weed does.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been worse places, but.
The other thing that pops to my mind, and this is why I try not to, well, not try, I definitely don't smoke before stand-up anymore, but about 5 years ago, I was back in Atlanta just passing through, and I was closing Star Bar, and, you know, for Atlanta comics, that's always a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, Star Bar is our best show, and to close it's always an honor. And just, you've been there. You know how Star Bar operates. And before the show or during the show, before my set, me and Rodney and several other people just tried to smoke all the weed. And, man, I got up and did 20 minutes and it was awful. Like, I was just like, I think I even said, I don't want to do this right now. Like, I'm not capable of speaking funny.
That's such a...
And it was awful.
That is a...
People just staring at me.
That is
my mouth was dry.
That is a horrifying feeling when you're on stage and like once in a great, great while. Really not often, if ever now, but like just completely blanking on something.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, oh, man. That gives me goosebumps more than thinking about actual scary stuff.
Yeah. And I felt something that I'd never felt on stage before, because so many of the audience knew me personally and was like really wanting me mm-hmm. to, you know, was really on my side from the get-go. I've never felt sympathy before on stage, but I felt like people like, oh, Dave, come on, buddy. And that's the worst.
Well,
you never want that on stage.
Carl Fisher has a question that kind of pertains to this. He says, we all know what it feels like when a joke doesn't land, but how does it feel as a semi-pro comedian when your friends and family don't get one of your jokes?
Semi-pro?
Take it up with Carl. Dude.
Carl. Come on, you're talking to one pro and the other guy. Semi-pro.
I don't believe in rankings, man. I'm in it for the love of the game, man. I don't even see rank.
Collectively, we've been doing comedy for 37 years.
Fuck, I was bugging out that this is like I've been doing it for half my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started when I was 22.
That's crazy,
right?
Yeah, I'm at 15 years right now. Yeah, half your life, dude. That's, man, way to go.
Yeah, I'm further away. Oh, no, I can't figure out that math. I was gonna do like I'm further away from this starting point here than I am. I had a gummy and I had a tramadol, and I'm just.
I know what you mean,
man. I'm on a pool floaty right now. That's how I feel.
When friends and family don't get one of your jokes, do you mean off stage in a personal context, or when they come to a show?
I don't know, but I'm not that bothered by it.
Yeah, I try not to run jokes by friends and family, you know, off stage. I never want to be that guy. I mean, sometimes it's inevitable with your close friends, like, hey, you know, is this funny?
Well,
but yeah, I'm not just cracking jokes off stage all the time.
My friends, yeah, I want to make them laugh. But if it's like mm-hmm. older relatives, same thing, we're talking about like younger people having something that you don't understand. Like I had to keep telling my mom to get off Twitter. She's like, well, why would you say this? I'm like, it's not for, I can't explain everything I put on Twitter to you. It's not for you. It's like when you're like 9 and you find a Playboy under the bed. Like, that's not mm-hmm. for people your age.
Yeah.
So, I'm not too bothered by it. So, that's my answer, Carl. Sorry, not much more. Yeah. I'm like, whatever, man. Trust me, I got enough jokes that flop.
Mm-hmm.
Trixie Emerson, what are some fun, spooky recipe ideas? I've been floating around the idea of a candy bar skeleton. All right.
So... multiple candy bars connected to look like a skeleton. Okay. So would you have to use the white ones? What's that god-awful white candy bar I talked about? Zero bar?
Oh, is that white chocolate?
Yeah, I remember it not being very good. Of course, that was a long time ago. Maybe I should give it another
shot. They do a thing with like, is it brownies or something with gummy worms in it? It's like dirt and worms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've seen that. Wonder what... Is there a dish that replicates eyeballs?
That thing in grade school where they're like, it was just grapes. It was just wet grapes. They're like, these are eyeballs, and the spaghetti was brains.
Uh-huh. Spooky recipe.
Should do like jelly beans could be like kidney stones.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, man. Candy bar skeleton's already pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Or make big, if somebody made big gummy worms, so they were like intestines and they were in a pinata.
Ooh. Like the size of, okay.
Yeah, Halloween pinata with gummy entrails.
Gummy entrails. I like that.
Or gummy entrails in like a fruit punch, like a punch bowl. That's sort of, look, you got like a dummy on the table, but mm-hmm. the stomach's cut out. That's the punch bowl with like gummy worms and fruit punch. It's like you're drinking and eating its guts.
Man, I love a good punch. I love a good.
Yeah, we got that episode done already, man. Dave.
Yeah, we did.
punch a ladle, schmuck. You like a late like a ladleable mm-hmm. beverage?
Yes, like traditional fruit punch mixed with ginger ale or Sprite and maybe spike it.
What
with
about
something.
A nog?
But yeah.
What about a nog, egg or otherwise?
Are there other nogs?
I don't know. I'm on a diet. Can I just say egg white nog? Just an egg white nog. I don't know if there's other nogs.
I really thought, like, wait a minute. Is I'm looking, are you talking, looking is there a whole world of nog?
Various I'm not familiar with? Nogs. Fucking nog. Not even close. Oh, wait.
Various nogs.
A
oh,
strong,
shit. That's funny.
A strong ale formerly brewed in Norfolk, England. It's only eggnog.
Yeah, what else could there be? Like, even though there's not, if we in a parallel universe, what would be an alternative nog other than eggnog? Could you do like a bread nog? Could you have like a soupy bread pudding?
I mean,
thing?
Dave, I you're know. The chef here, so are you, I'm going to look up the recipe and we're going to see what we can replace with what. Let's go a little.
What
I'm going go
like
to go to Food Network.
Cheese nog.
That would be more like that. Would be like your white cheddar queso. Ooh, a cheesy beverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you got to beat the egg yolks until they lighten in color, and then you're just adding sugar, milk, cream, bourbon. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the egg whites are doing what? That's just like kind of making it the consistency, right?
I guess, yeah, the creaminess. You know who loves eggnog and makes an incredible homemade version? Our buddy Ryan Singer makes killer eggnog. Makes it every year, every Christmas.
Really?
Big old batch. Yeah, big eggnog fan.
It's a... Can you make pancakes with eggnog?
Ooh. I bet, yeah, that's a lateral move. I bet there's not a whole lot of adjustments.
Just think about it, because it's like you're drinking batter already.
Mm-hmm.
Give up, yeah, Dave, right. I dare you, to, like I dare you to ladle out eggnog for Halloween for trick-or-treaters.
That would be funny.
Dress like Santa Claus, give out all last year's Christmas candy.
I still want to do savory trick-or-treating. I still want to put out charcuterie plates and meatballs and shit.
Oh, yeah, like a...
I think that'd be fun.
Chunks of soft pretzel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, soft pretzel, little sausage links, maybe little
just snipping,
mini cups
snipping
of chili.
The links off into the bag.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. You already got one, Billy. Oh, my God.
Snip it just with the scissors over the bag. Who's this fucking psycho?
And I've got them wrapped around my neck like a towel, you know, and I just, yeah. You know, I just pull it. You know, it's like doggy bags. I got the little spool of doggy bag. You just pull one out, you know. So I just,
yeah.
Boom, snip it right there into your bag, into your little plastic pumpkin.
Just a loose sausage. Just a loose, greasy sausage.
Now, these are smoked, so they're ready to eat. So y'all don't have to go home and cook.
I think somebody gave out miniature Slim Jims once.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, it's a change of pace.
I like that. Yeah.
Something different. Cut through all the sweets.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a nice baked potato soup. Just little cups.
He just burnt so many kids.
Oh, shit.
You reversed Freddy Krueger-dom. You burnt all the kids in the neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
We got some Halloween movie suggestions. Mikey says May from 2002, a movie called May. Have not heard of it.
May. Okay.
Somebody
yeah,
else
familiar.
Said Threads. Ohio Girl says Halloween movie to watch. Threads, not a traditional Halloween movie, but the scariest damn movie I've ever watched. The end scene is burned into my brain. It's on YouTube. Watch during the day or vivid nightmares may happen. Wow. All right. That's a sell.
Okay.
On YouTube, Threads. Jeremy Bond, favorite black and white horror movie. Mine is my recommendation, Carnival of Souls. All right.
That was one. On my list last year, and I never got to it. So, I heard good things about Carnival of Souls.
Well, Eric Scott mentioned, he's like, well, he says, not a big fan of Not a big horror fan, but loved Cabin in the Woods. Also had fun during quarantine doing what Dave did and catching as many classic horror films as I could. Good times.
Hell yeah.
So inspired him to do that.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods. Excellent cool. movie.
Okay. Black and White. I watched several of those last year. I was really just really into some of the old shit. But the two that I enjoyed the original Frankenstein. Never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fun.
OG Frankie.
And I enjoyed the hell out of Spider Baby. That was a weird, creepy black and white one.
I think you were talking
about
that.
These young girls. These, like, teenage girls. I can't remember all the narrative, but these girls were just fucking nuts and killing people. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Spider Baby. Can't say I'm well-versed in the black and white. I can't say I'm well-versed in pretty much anything. But, yeah. Clearly, I haven't even seen Halloween. Let me get to these black and white ones soon enough.
I think you'd like Halloween. It's
I know. It's kind of,
the pacing's kind of slow. It's not like, you know, edge of your seat the whole time, but like it's for a scary movie. It's got a decent narrative, you know, decent plot, and he's, you know, the main character's creepy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Good villain.
Yeah,
and Jamie Lee Curtis, young Jamie Lee Curtis, is great in that. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like it, you might want to check out Rob Zombie remade them. I think he did at least two. And a lot of the diehard fans didn't like it just because, you know, anytime you remake
some,
a classic.
Some tells me you were a Rob Zombie guy in high school.
Yeah, I was into White Zombie a little bit. Not a huge fan, but yeah, I definitely wouldn't turn the radio off when More Human Than Human would come on.
There was a catchiness
mm-hmm.
to the White Zombie.
And as far as his, you know, his movie output, I'm just not smart enough, you know, with films to know what's right or wrong about them. But yeah, some of them I like. I enjoyed with the first one.
Wasn't smart enough to understand House of a Thousand Corpses.
No, but I couldn't sit here and tell you why Rob Zombie sucks or why he's great. I just, you know.
Yeah.
The first one I liked, the Devil's Rejects, I wanted to like it because, like, you know, it looked cool,
yeah.
But it kind of bored the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to. But the first one I really liked. And then there's been a few since then of his that I enjoyed. I forgot what they were.
He's out there just doing his thing. He's staying on brand, yeah. As it would be put. I want to see him make a romantic comedy. How about House of a Thousand Kisses?
God.
I remake Rob Zombie movies, and I turn them into little handholders, a couple of little handholders.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be funny. Is it some of the same characters are in them, though?
Yeah.
Dr. Satan,
yeah, but
the
it's
clown
still just
guy,
a love story. People get lost in a maze, and then they find each other, and they're like, they're sweet on each other.
Oh, my God.
Wholesome family movies.
That's funny, dude.
I'm going to dry bar comedy Rob Zombie's whole career. Scrub it up. Get that makeup off. Brush your hair, Rob. Robert.
Oh, shit. That's funny, dude.
I'm kidding. I should eat edibles before more of these.
Sloppy Noodle.
Yeah.
What's a fun Halloween costume idea you've thought of using? Sloppy Noodle asks, what's a fun Halloween costume idea you've thought of using? Man, Sloppy, I should have wrote this down, but like about once a year I'll think, like in April, I'll think, man, this would be a great costume idea. I'm going to do that come October, and then I always forget. I love my buddies in high school, a few of them would rock this on Halloween, but the, like when one buddy would have a fake axe in his head. I love shit like that.
Oh, just the arrow through the head kind of thing?
Yeah, arrow through the head or hatchet in the forehead or, you know, just, oh, shit. I always love like that. Like, what a great idea. Like, oh, I'm not really a thing. I'm just a victim. I'm just a guy who got fucking axed.
I had a shirt that just had like the skeleton on it, the bones. Mm. Like, that's kind of just.
Oh, like, yo, like the Karate Kid bodysuit.
But
not,
but more cartoony. It was just a t-shirt, like a rib cage on. I'm like, look at me, I'm part of a skeleton. I'm an X-ray.
I did like those Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai guys on Halloween. I always thought that was those little bodysuits or whatever they had. That's a good idea. I didn't care for Daniel's fucking costume. Oh, look at me, I'm a shower. Yeah, good for you.
Well, he had to go there in anonymity, yeah. and that's how Mr. Miyagi that's helped true. Him. He had to go without right. being seen. So it was You're a perfect right. costume.
Yeah, I'll stop poking holes in the Karate Kid.
Yeah, man,
plot.
Leave Karate Kid alone. It's Karate Kid didn't mm-hmm. do nothing to you.
One time in high school, my buddy did a thing where it looked like he was a headless guy. You know.
Yeah.
Pulled up his. It was pretty well done. I mean, you could still tell. Like, hey, his torso's too long.
But when somebody put effort, I took like a coat hanger and wired up. I took an old pair of glasses of mine and wired them out so they were like a foot and a half to my side, and I went as the Invisible Man's best friend.
I like that. That's good.
You know, you're messing around. You want to throw out something original. Might not have been aesthetically the best costume, but you'd be silly about it.
Yeah, what would be... That's something I would like to look up or witness, like a really good Halloween parade or like...
Dude, West Hollywood,
like, what are people doing in 2021 to, like, one-up each other in terms of... makeup and costumes
Dude,
and shit like
West
that.
West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. That is the... Yeah. I only went once because it was like so packed and crazy. I'm sure I probably would like to go again, but it was like everything. It was packed. Everybody was like to the nines. For those of you who don't know West Hollywood, traditionally the gay neighborhood of Los Angeles, but the Halloween, they just shut down the street and it's nuts because you got like movie people... that are good with costumes already.
Yeah.
Coming up with stuff. Oh. Tegan's always good with Halloween. All of her Halloween costumes have to include facial hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she always cuts off a little of her own face. So she was like Magnum P.I. And she was Freddie Mercury. And That's she was cool. Guy Fieri. But she always cuts off a little of her own hair to glue on her face.
That's funny. Oh, man. That'd be funny if, like, mustaches were like that, just straight, like, head hair.
Yeah, just, well, I mean, mine's pretty, it's thick, but it's straight, I comb it.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's straight, but it's, like, it's more coarse than, you know, my head.
Oh, yeah.
I knew a guy one time, I started calling my buddy, an acquaintance, but he had a beard kind of like ours, and then one day not even as a gag, just like, hey, this is my new thing. He straightened his beard. He like got like one of those hot.
Oh yeah, it always looks like.
And it looked like head hair. It looked like a fake beard. Like that's not what beards look like, dude.
I mean, did he just want to see what it would look like?
I guess. Like I remember somebody ragging him about it, and it wasn't like, yeah, I know, right? What the fuck? It was just like, what? Was my new thing, dude. Shut up.
He was trying it out.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, Rachel and I. Did you ever have this trend where dudes would perm their mullets?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Yes. All right. I thought I was
I remember that. That's so weird that you mentioned that because Katie and I were just talking about perms last night. And what, like, I don't understand why anybody would ever perm anything. Even on a woman, I don't think it looks good, and especially on a man. Like, what am I missing? Like, why would you do that to your hair? Hey, I want it to be really tight and curly for no reason. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I remember that being like having a...
Yeah, but I remember the perm mullet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
and just the bottom. Just the last 6 inches or so.
Yeah, not your whole head. The whole head was like high and tight, but then the mullet was perm. Yeah. The soccer rocker, as it was called in my neighborhood.
But yeah, that was a fairly common thing, I guess, back in the 70s and 80s. Just, I remember being a little kid at church and then just, oh, Caleb's dad just now has a perm. Like, guys, just normal dudes just show up one day and now they got curly hair.
We're watching a Bob Ross biography or documentary. Mm-hmm. And yeah, his whole thing was a perm. It was not Bob Ross's natural hair. Had a killer head of hair in the 60s, though, real rockabilly pompadour. And then really? And then just went perm. I don't understand the attraction. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom and her friends giving each other perms, and it was... It smelled like they were skinning vermin.
Yeah, you're right.
It was horrible.
My mom used to do that. Mm-hmm. What is that smell? Some one of the chemicals they use.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, that's a smell of gossip. That's what it is. It's the smell of those old birds trading rumors.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
The original podcast, Permcast.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I just can't imagine anybody thinking, yeah, that's what I need. That's the upgrade I'm looking for.
Listen, listen, I know it's not going to look great, but can at least stink? Can I at least get that much? I know it won't look good, but can it smell horrible?
Oh, my God. Now, I get it. I'm not going to, like, I'll tread lightly. I get it if you're of an ethnicity where maybe naturally you don't have a lot of options in terms of, like, this is just how my hair is. Like, I get wanting to do something, you know, different or have some options, but just your average dude who, you know, your average guy with hair, there's other options than just perming it, you know, like you can do a lot with the average head of hair, but just to think like, nope, that's what it needs.
I mean, I did a lot of
Conway Twitty.
I did a lot of dumb shit with mine. I tried the pompadour rockabilly thing.
Really?
Yeah, and my hair's just thin. It would just stick to my head. It would just go straight back. It would just go like Die Hard villain.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no pomp in my adore.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do that. I can get the length, like I can grow mine out and flip it back, but there's no volume to it. My hair's too thin now for a pompadour or something.
Cool. And that's where they would do a trick. They'd throw like maybe a curler up on the top there so you had a little wave to comb back on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
That's, I mean, yeah, what's going on with your hair for the wedding?
Man, I, you know, during quarantine, I was just shaving it myself and then sometimes doing the mohawk. So I let it grow back out. And, you saw me last week. So I, just my normal, how I used to wear it, just normal dude, you know, short on the sides and back and a little bit on top, just enough to.
You're not going
to
get a sharp style? I mean, you're doing the suit. You're doing all these other things.
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what my hair is capable of.
We got to get you a stylist to answer that question.
Okay. Yeah. I've thought about it. I just don't know what my options are. It's either just really short or kind of short, you know? I just feel like it's too late in the game for me to try to worry about, like shaggy hair, like grow it out and do something with it. Because, like I said, it's just, you know,
I think
I'm
you
thin,
could do a good pompadour, though.
I don't think I could pull it off. I would like, I'd rock a pompadour. I'd rock a rockabilly hairdo for a little while. But I just feel like my hair's not thick enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd look for the day of. But, yeah, I don't know how to maintain that stuff. So.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I don't know. Probably just, you know, my normal generic white guy haircut.
Yeah.
What's the longest your hair's ever been?
Probably.
Did you have long hair in high school?
No, I had a mullet for a little while in junior high, and basically through high school, I was either doing the Tony Hawk shaved underneath for a brief moment, and then I was just shaving. No, I had like spiked hair.
Okay.
And I was like bleaching it and doing different colors to it, and I had that, and then I just was shaving it. What shit, I gotta shave my hair today. Yeah, that's all I was doing. I just had thin, thin blonde hair. Nothing.
Yeah,
much
I've always
to
wanted
work
to rock.
With.
I've always wanted to rock long hair, like rock and roll hair.
Yeah, dude.
You know, heavy metal hair. But I never tried it. Like the longest my hair has ever been would be slightly shaggy. Like
it's
maybe
you got to sit through a lot of stupid looks.
Yeah. Like, I've never been able to just, you know, at the base of my neck, reach back and just grab a fistful of hair.
That's
it's always just,
July, like, that's where I was at. Bit. That was the longest my hair ever was, even though I have none on top. I had, like, it wasn't bald enough. I'm not bald enough to pull off the full Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh.
There's enough weird wispy shit on the top of my head, so I just look like a Bill Murray in Kingpin. It's not a good look.
Oh, my God.
It's not a good look at all.
when it unravels.
That's what it looks like. There's just like one little holdout, one little Alamo of hair up there. Anyway.
I remember about 10 years ago, right before I moved to L.A., I was seeing videos of you and stuff where your hair was pretty long, and you were rocking some sort of hat, but you had all this hair coming out.
Oh,
like you kind of looked like George Carlin.
There was some moment, like I think around 2010, I kind of had longer hair, and it was.
Mm-hmm. I thought it looked good. I was like, look at him go.
The hat on, I took the hat off. Mm-hmm. You're like, what is this look, man? It's real like 70s folk singer slash.
Yeah, why not?
Wayne Grove from Heat.
Yes, Wayne Grove.
Slicking it back was real Wayne Grove.
Wayne Grove, what a great character.
Just had to do it, man. I had to get it on.
Had to get it on. He's making a move. Man, they had that fucking trunk already lined with trash bags. They were ready to go. They were going to fucking whack him right there in Big Boy's parking lot.
All right. Dave's a fan of that film.
Oh, goddamn, I love Heat.
Everybody does. It's great. It's a good movie. Mm.
Great movie. All right, let's get a couple more and then land this bastard.
All right,
and we will definitely get to the rest of these. We'll make sure that we don't wait till November 1st to do the next one. We'll get the next episode out before Halloween and get these questions answered. But yeah, let's get a couple more. Anything striking you here,
Chris Oleus? What international country would either of you love to do a show at?
Oh, any. I've never traveled abroad. Been to Canada.
Canada. Well, that's a interesting question, because it's like, well, is the comedy show going to go well? Because you got to think about, like, well, does the audience understand thing? I know people play Finland and Norway, American or, you know, English-speaking comics. And mm-hmm. it's always like they get it, but that's like their third language, so it takes a while, so the timing messes with it. So
yeah.
Is it to perform or just the excuse to go there and being able to travel?
Mm-hmm. Let's do both. Which one would be the best to perform at? And which? I don't know. I have no idea what international audiences are like. You do. I mean, was Australia fun? You've been down there a few times.
I love Australia.
Really?
Yeah. I love, because it's like, they're like, England, when I've played in the UK, or at least England, it's always a little bit like, I don't know, they either like super crass stuff or like super clever kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think I'm like in between. So I've never like cracked that nut over there. Okay. I don't mind going there, and I've had good times there. Australia, they're just like, nah, man, we get it. They're a little more loose, a little more down to have fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't know. I like to go back to Germany. I thought Germany was cool. Just to travel there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe
what part? Vietnam. What part did you go to?
I just went to Berlin. Just there for a few days.
Yeah, I heard that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, because everybody knows about the World War II history, and then you go there and it's like, oh, they must be trying to go the other way. Like, everybody just looked like a modern artist.
Oh, really?
Just walking around like, oh, you're just wearing, you're a dude with short shorts and dress shoes and a top hat, and everything's just bonkers everywhere. Like, all right, I like it. I like it. We're gonna snap back the other way and accept everybody for anything they want to do. Like, okay.
I like that. Yeah, that's an interesting mentality. It's kind of how the modern South is in terms of, yeah, we know our history. We know we fucked up, but we're trying to right the ship and, you know, be a little more progressive and open-minded. You know, there's certain pockets
maybe
in the South.
Maybe in the cities,
really,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in the cities. But, like, I would imagine a similar, you know, mindset might be over there. Like, yeah, we know, sorry, but that was 70 years ago, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask this question, and then we'll put her down. Aaron.
Sure.
Jaquins. J-A-Q-U-I-N-S. Joaquins?
Joaquins?
Perhaps. It says, Dave, you've kicked a 50-yard field goal. Hit for power in baseball and concuss some suckers with your fists. Do you have any glaring weaknesses when it comes to sports?
It's quite a resume I've got there.
Yeah.
Well, quite frankly, full disclosure, I don't know if yesterday's episode is up yet, by the way. I noticed it wasn't up anyway.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday on the regular episode, but this kind of pertains to sports and athleticism. But I realized recently I'm a shitty dancer. I thought because I was a decent athlete, mm-hmm. because I am graceful for a big dude, I thought, well, I can knock out some of these dances. And, anything below the kneecaps I'm having trouble with. The shoulders and the arms and the hips, I got that. I got that in spades. But my feet, trying to do the running man, trying to learn the shuffle, it's not working out. So that's definitely a weakness, my lower body coordination or okay. rhythm. But, yeah.
I think in terms of traditional sports,
yeah, I hope so.
And if not, it'll find you, according to Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
The rhythm's going to get
you. But, yeah,
you.
I would say that's definitely because I was, I was a good athlete. I was strong for my size. I was fast. I was quick and fast back in the day before mm-hmm. I put on too much weight. But, yeah, I was a good athlete. But, yeah, I can't, my footwork. I got to work on my dancing footwork. Okay. It's really pathetic.
Well, it's good.
You watch these fucking videos, and they make it look so easy. And it's just like, they're just like, yeah, just do it like this. And I'm like, what the fuck? I feel like I've never had legs before. Just like, what's going on?
Like I said, from the episode, I just imagine you like Chris Penn in the bed of a pickup truck, just clomping around in boots. I admire you trying to learn that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be able to bust it out if the mood strikes me. You know, I'm not going to stress about it, but it's like, hey, it's my wedding, you know, and I'm making all these great playlists. You know, I think the music's going to be banging. It's like, yeah, I need to give them something more than my little shoulder shimmies, you know? That's about all I got right now.
I always thought it was impressive, like the idea of honky tonks or something, like all these tough redneck type mm-hmm. dudes, but also like knowing how to dance.
Yeah.
Is like a quality yep. you should possess as a rough and tough dude. Well, you got to be able to dance mm-hmm. with a lady also.
Yeah, yeah. How you going to get your lady if you can't get out there on the dance mm-hmm. floor?
So that's your glaring weakness. I'm the opposite. I have no glaring strengths with athletics. So
that's not true. You're a rad dude.
It is absolutely true. I have no natural ability in the athletic world. It's all done with uncertainty and fear. Every sport, everything I've tried, just, man, I don't know about this.
Uncertainty and fear.
Even pinball. Well, it looks like I'm going to lose some quarters. Here we go.
Oh, man. Oh, you sell yourself short, buddy. You're a rad dude.
That's my strength, selling myself short. Well, you want to put her down?
Let's land this plane, buddy. Patrons, thank you so much. We appreciate the shit out of you. We really do. Not to sound redundant or condescending, but we really, really appreciate you.
We do. So we do.
Thank you.
Come on, we do.
Yeah. Y'all have fun. Be safe. Get in the Halloween spirit. And, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sweeties.
you.